Radio Sheffield, then this is me. I'm Ronnie on BBC Radio Sheffield. Bearing all today, James Ward. His cycling holiday in France turned into a 10-month stay in France. He's from Thorpe Hesley originally, runs a restaurant in Sheffield. He says he likes a tipple. Man after my own heart. James, good afternoon to you. Thanks for coming in.
No problem at all.
Well, the problem might be, are you prepared to have a go at the bearing all questions? They can turn out to be a bit tricky.
I'll give it a try, yeah.
Okay, let's go with them then. Bearing all today. Do you like red wine or white wine?
White wine.
Have you ever been starstruck?
Yes.
When was the last time you said, I love you?
This morning.
What's the favourite thing you do on a day off?
Drink wine.
Do you like jeans or a suit?
Jeans.
What's your secret skill?
I wouldn't say I have one.
When's the last time you got lost?
Couple of weeks ago, actually.
Ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup.
Have you ever lied about your age?
Yes.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Good, there's some great answers there. We could spend the programme doing that. The last time you said I love you was this morning. Who did you say it to, James Ward?
My girlfriend.
This morning?
Yeah.
Oh, right. When did you say it to her?
When she was leaving for work.
Right, so you live together, do you?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Right, what about the favourite thing on your day off? You don't do anything, but you like wearing... Are you wearing jeans now?
I am, yeah.
Would you describe your jeans for us, James?
Yeah, they're black, skinny jeans, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Do you look good in them?
I would say... No, I don't want to answer that one.
Well, did you answer the one about your age? Because you are, in fact, 27, didn't you?
I am,
do you sometimes
yeah.
pretend to be older than you are, or younger, or what?
When I was younger, I would try and tend to be older because so I would get served for alcohol. But not so much anymore.
Join the club. Where did you go to school, James?
In Kimberworth, Winter Hill School, or Old Hall as it was
were
called.
Were you a good lad at school?
Yeah, for the most part.
What did you think you were going to do when you were at school?
I thought I was going to be an actor.
Did you?
Yeah.
And did you act in school plays and things?
Yeah, yeah. Even all the way up till like doing university.
What sort of parts did you play?
Mainly just straight acting roles.
Yeah. You're good looking, aren't you? Enough to be one.
I wouldn't
what
say
What happened then? Why didn't you become one?
Not good enough. No, basically I finished university, did musical theatre and wanted to travel a bit more and just kind of started, life got in the way a little bit, and I started prioritising other things, and so I just kind of, I was happy to leave it, it was fine, I think it ran its course by the time I was, finished university.
What was that about? I mean, you're teasing me and yourself saying you weren't good enough, but was there a point at which you thought, actually, I don't like this life, or I really won't make any money at it? Or?
Yeah, well, I moved to London when I was 23, and I'd had a couple of, paid acting jobs, very small jobs, and I thought, yeah, I'll move to London, and then I got a job in a really good restaurant called Merchant's Tavern, working for Angela Hartner, and I kind of threw myself into that, and any kind of time I had to try and pursue acting was just, it just kind of fell by the wayside, and I kind of was happy to do that, because I was enjoying learning about food and learning about wine, and, progressing that knowledge, so... Yeah, it was fine.
What about the journey that you made on a holiday in France that you didn't kind of come back from a long time? What's the story there?
Well, my friend and I, we were both working down in London, and we'd both actually handed our notices in. I'd actually made the decision to move back to Sheffield for a little while before moving to Canada, and my friend as a joke said, James, how do you fancy cycling from London to Paris? And I thought, well, do you know what?
You do fancy it.
Yeah. So it was like 3 weeks later, I was on my dad's 20-year-old mountain bike that I borrowed from him. And we set off from the London Eye on the Monday at lunchtime and arrived at the Eiffel Tower on the Friday about 2:30. And we'd not set up anywhere to stay or anything like that. So we're just finding places to stay along the road. So one night we camped in a holiday home park, and we had to go in under the cover of darkness because we weren't allowed to be there. Another night we stayed in this really weird, I think it was an illegal B&B down in New Haven, because it was really, really weird. And one of the final nights we just dropped, I'd hurt my knee, and we were about 30 miles from where we actually needed to be, so we just knocked on the one B&B in this small village, and it turned out to be the nicest place, and you know, we're the only people staying there, and like so it was, yeah, it was really nice, and yeah, I loved it. It was literally about 2 years ago to the week. So,
but you decided to stay then?
Yeah, yeah. I had I've got family who live in Lille, and I thought, well, I might as well go to visit because it's about an hour away on the train, and I just got there, and I was only supposed to stay about 5 days, and I just fell in love with it. And my it's my mum's cousin Helen. She said, well, if you really like it, then you know, we've got a flat that we rent out. So if you want it, if you can find a job, then you know you can.
And could you? Did you?
Yeah, I found I stumbled into a bar when I was quite. I was just walking around, and I got lost in the old town, and I saw this bar, and it said happy hour 5 till 8, and I thought, oh, well, I'll go in, and I got talking to the owner, and that I just mentioned. So, are you looking for anybody? They said, as a matter of fact, they are. And yeah, so I went home for about 2 weeks, maybe three. Got all my stuff in order, and a few weeks later, I was back in France. Starting.
It's a good story. Yeah. How's your French? Was it all right?
It was non-existent when I got there.
Oh, really?
And then after 10 or 11 months, it was okay. But to be honest, my brother's girlfriend is fluent in French, and whenever I try to speak French, she just rolls her eyes. So
even
can't
now
be that good. Can't be that good.
James Ward is talking to me on BBC Radio Sheffield. Self-deprecating narcissist. I've not seen much of the narcissism, but it's very interesting to hear the story. You do a blog, don't you, called Wind Up?
Yes.
The other sort of wind up, like wine that you drink, wind up.
Exactly, yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah, so aside to working or running Vino on Ecclesall Road, I do the blog, and it's... I was just one night thinking to myself, it was when I was in France, and I just thought, I love wine, and I've learned so much over my time in the hospitality industry, but yet... It round, you know, where we're from in Sheffield a lot of the time, where especially myself, I always found myself getting a bit ridiculed because people
thought... Because you're into wine.
Yeah, people thought I was a bit pompous. So yeah. I thought, how can...
A bit poncy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I thought, well, you know, I just want to... There surely must be more people, you know, who like wine and like myself. So just thought, well, let's start a blog together. So I approached my friend Lily, who works in the industry, and she thought, yeah, it's a great idea. So we've been kind of posting once a week since the beginning of January 2017. And we interview, we do anything. We just want to make it like accessible to people. So we'll explain wine terms in a down-to-earth way. We'll review bottles of wine that you can get either in independent shops or supermarkets. And we're kind of now... not focusing on, but we're speaking to like different small distributors, winemakers, and just doing profiles on them and helping like bring the reach to them as well. And
how did you get into wine in the first place? Because it's not the obvious thing you'd be drinking out in the wilds of South Yorkshire, is it?
I was working in hospitality, you know, since about 15, like throughout school, college, uni, and then I went to the Hamptons in New York when I was like, I think 19. And was subjected to quite a lot of good wine. You know, when I was down in London, our wine list at the restaurant was amazing, and I was just drinking really good wine and learning quite a lot.
But free?
Yeah. We did loads of like wine training tastings, like we were invited to loads of events, so it was great. And so it just kind of materialised from there. As I found myself getting more, like learning more, getting more into it, and I took a bit of time out from like hospitality. Just to kind of do Monday to Friday work for a little while, and I hated it. So when I came back to the world of bars and restaurants and cafes and whatnot, I thought, well, I want something to focus on. And just at that point, when I was working in France, you know, I was subjected every day to great wine, you know. And
how awful.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough.
I don't get what it is. I drink wine probably as much as you do, if I possibly can. But there, it's all the same to me. It's just wine.
Oh, really?
Well, like, yeah, but it smells a bit different sometimes, slightly different taste sometimes, gets you drunk a bit faster sometimes, sends you to the lavatory sometimes. But none of this sort of sniffing and licking and whatever you lot do.
Well, I think for me, what I really love about it, and what I love about kind of vino in particular, is you can get different varieties of the same grape. So we have like five varieties of a Nero d'Avola, which is a grape, and there's one that's blended with a bit of Merlot, which is quite light, and there's an organic one which has had no herbicides or pesticides on the vine when you're growing it, and then it goes all the way to something we call our richest, which is a beautiful full-bodied reserva, which is aged in oak, and you get all these like tannin and richness from the oak that really leave an impression on the wine. And for me, that difference is amazing. Like from the same grape variety, you can get different smells, different kind of taste profiles, and for how long it's aged in oak will make it differ to if it's been aged in stainless steel. And it's just amazing how you can manipulate the same grape variety and have these different extractions or different taste characteristics. I think that's kind of what I love about it.
Yeah. James Ward, musical choice, if you play one record for the rest of your life, it's the only piece of music you can hear from now onwards, what would it be?
Venice Queen by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
At one stage he decided not to. He likes wine, he's talking about wine, and he's in the studio now and we're discussing wine. I want to hear, before we come back to wine, about Becky. Will you tell me the story of Becky?
She's my girlfriend. We met just over a year ago and started seeing each other.
Did you meet in a wine bar or...?
We met in a dive pub in Thorpe Esley. I did finish work one night and my friend, I texted my friend, said, did he want to go for a pint? And he said, yeah, I'm already at the pub now. And then Becky was a mutual friend. And yeah, just kind of got talking, started seeing each other. But I was I was moving to Canada a few weeks later. So it was kind of the worst timing whatsoever. But no, she's lovely. She waited for me vice versa. You know, we stayed in touch. And I got back a few months ago in November and... yeah, kind of just picked up where we left off.
Was she into wine before you?
She'll drink it.
Yeah, that's not the same thing, is it? Sort of.
No, we'll put it this way. I went to the pub I ordered a gin and tonic and she had a pint of John Smith's.
Did she?
Yeah.
This girl. Was this at Thorpe Esley then?
Yeah, yeah.
What do they think about you and your sommeliering and wining and all that stuff?
In Thorpe? Yeah. I think they like it. I don't know. I'm frequently go to one of the pubs around there, and people seem to. I think they like me.
Can you get a glass of wine there?
Yeah.
What about your kind of place itself these days? You deal in Sicilian wine.
Yeah, so
it's a bit specific, I don't know.
Yeah, vino. Our owner or the guy who started vino. There's a few dotted around. His grandfather owns a winery. So we get our wine kind of straight from that winery. So our owner's Sicilian, and so it's kind of like cutting out the middleman. And one of the unique kind of selling points of it is the fact that it's authentic. It is from the family. It's and you can get a lovely.
Is it white, red? What is it?
It's all both white, red, rosé. Yeah. A dessert wine. We do like wine tasting things.
Kate,
as well.
My producer today was talking about rosé wine. We were discussing what I'd mentioned in the program a bit earlier, that I've switched to white wine in recent times. I'm puzzled by that. I've no idea where that would be. She was saying how you can only drink rosé if you're down by the Mediterranean and it's a hot day, and I feel like that about rosé.
Yeah, it depends. Like we have one at Vino, and it's made from Syrah. So Shiraz is the common name for it, like in the New World. And it would be it's unlike any other rosé, or not any other rosé, but unlike a lot of rosés. You normally get if you go to a supermarket, you'll see that White Zinfandel. You see these big like Californian brands, and it's all mass produced, and it's not the best quality, and it's quite sweet, and it's just a bit, and also vinegary. But this one in particular is made from, it's made from Syrah, and it's got this beautiful like deepness to it. It's dry, it's not sweet. And if you close your eyes, you probably think you were drinking a nice, white wine. You wouldn't think it'd be rosé. You might even think you were drinking a Pinot Noir red.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a great example of how good rosé can be. But I can drink that any time of the day. I was doing a bit of marketing in a shared office on Ecclesall Road on Tuesday, and me and this guy, he was called Andy, really nice guy. I think he just moved into the office. He was a bit lonely, and I was there from half 12, sorry. I should have been finishing at half one, and I stayed till half three because he was just there drinking rosé. Mm. And he said he wasn't a rosé drinker at all. I said, just try it.
But he was by the end of the session.
Yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with being a freak, but
it might have done. Are you scared that you're going to end up, well, I don't know, alcoholic? I mean, if I got the chance of free drinks all day long, I'd go for it. But how do you prevent yourself becoming very poorly in the long run, James?
I don't think about it. simple answer, really. I try not to drink too much, but at the same time, I probably do a rubbish job of that. I like it too much.
If you're to get another 27 years, it's the last question I ask in this interview. What do you want to do in the next 27 years, James, if you've got that many?
I'd like to see wind up get really profitable and big, and kind of just do what I love for a living for the next 27 years, whether that's with Vino or my own blog. Ideally, I know it's a pipe dream, I'd love to do video content and do a bit more of like an alternative a TV or web episode about wine and the drinks industry, and how, you know, it's, you know, changing, and how younger faces are coming through and challenging the preconceptions of a wine drinker visually, and going around people who, talking to people who have the same.
You've challenged me a bit today, and I'm looking forward to my next glass.
There we go.
James Ward, thank you ever so much. BBC Radio Sheffield, 5 minutes to 3.
Every weekend on BBC Radio Sheffield.